Good afternoon. I thank the Lord that I can be a friend to Jesus. I thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in Wichita with you, dear saints. I have had a wonderful, wonderful time. I feel sad because it's time to go back to Purcell, where I live. But Lord willing, we'll get to meet again someday. And that encourages me. When we'll get to heaven, we won't have to depart. We can just sing around the throne and, you know, the times of refreshing that come from the Lord, and we can just enjoy our brothers and our sisters. So we thank the Lord. We appreciate if you would pray with us today that this time would be used to the glory of God, that we won't waste any minutes, but it all be to the glory of God. We are going to look into the Word of God. And our subject this afternoon is an ongoing subject. Seems like I get these, but the Lord knows all about it. I got some little dot. Oh, I might just use this. Let's see if I can do this. One time I was up preaching, and I spelled the word wrong, and somebody brought it to my attention. But I'm going to try to do this correctly. E-F-F-O-R-T. Effort to please. I didn't put my capital, but you'll get the message. Effort to please. This is going to be a big one. G. O. D. All right, we have some homework, don't we? Effort to please God. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. All right. Now, an effort is the using of energy to get something done. I looked this up in the dictionary. This is not my own, but listen. It can be an exertion of strength or mental power. A try, like especially a hard try. It could be an attempt, an endeavor, or an achievement, any of those. Now, we sang about the grace of God this afternoon. I cannot do it in my own strength. It is going to take the effort of God, the grace of God, His enabling power to be able to live a successful life. In Matthew 1, 11 and 15, we're going to talk about some effort that has been put forth by different ones. Matthew 1, 11 through 15. If you get that before I do, you can read it for me. And that'll save me a little bit of time. And I might just stop you at any time, so I'll try to be courteous about it. So don't be offended if I just ask you to pause, please, because we want to get it taken care of.
And Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren. About the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot
Wait, did I give you the right scripture? Matthew 1, 11, and 15. Did I give you the wrong thing?
11 and 15, first chapter of Matthew. Yes, that's the best one reading.
Okay, that's not what I wanted. I'm sorry. No. Hold on. Lord bless me. I want about Herod sought to destroy Jesus. So what is that? I'm sorry. I wrote it wrong. That's what I needed.
Second chapter, 14th verse.
Third chapter. Okay, I wanted this where Herod sought to destroy Jesus after he was born. Okay. So wherever that is that in the second chapter?
Born in Bethlehem of Judea.
That's what I want.
In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. Jerusalem.
Yes,
say,
amen.
Where is he that is born of the Jews? For
okay.
We have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. So Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
Yes.
He had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Jesus, where Christ should be born.
Yes, he was looking for him. He's putting forth some effort. Go ahead, brother.
He said unto him,
In
Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod, when he had heard privately, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was.
Amen.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay,
and being warned of God in a dream that they could not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
All right, thank you. That's sufficient. You can stop right there. I wanted to mention how that effort was put forth by Herod. He sought to destroy Jesus after he was born, but they were warned about this was going to take place. I'm talking about the futile effort that was put forth. And you know, sometimes we as Christians can put forth a lot of energy in the wrong areas of our life. We want to channel that energy to something that is productive for the kingdom of God. So that's what I wanted to get about here, about Herod. He sought to destroy Jesus. I don't think he wanted to really worship him. He wanted to destroy him. And so that was why he was putting forth all of this effort. I am thinking about when I went to school, which has been several years ago, and then you had a report card. And you know, in this report card, it didn't have like little X's and things like they have today. But we got graded in our subjects by A, B, and C. And then we had a little box on there for conduct. And that's how you act, you know. And then we had another box at the bottom that said effort, E-F-F-O-R-T. And my mother said, Patsy, if you don't know your lesson, at least you can get an A in conduct. And an A or an A plus in effort. And she enforced that. All of my 12 years of schooling, when we got older, they stopped having those kind of report cards. But in elementary school, she always checked the C on there. And if the teacher says, well, Patsy's having trouble with math, but she puts forth 100% effort, well, my mother wasn't going to do much about that because I was trying. So I want to tell you today, effort is very important today. And so I want you to remember that you don't want to get a satisfactory mark on your effort for pleasing God. We are going to remember that we cannot be lazy saints. We cannot afford to be lazy. We must put forth an effort to read the Word of God, to meditate upon it, to pray, fervent prayers, to come to service, to do what we can. We can't be lazy, Brother Gracie. I mean, we can't be lazy and make it because, well, I'm telling you all from experience. You know what they say about the two-edged sword? It goes both ways. And I'm not trying to be comical, but I see an urgency of the hour. I must confess, I thought I was going to be traveling on the highway about now. But the Lord did not release me to go yet. So you all bear with me here, because I just had to change my plans. I'm just going to tell you that much, because the Lord had something else in mind. So I'll get on that highway eventually, but I need to deliver this to you today. So we're talking about an effort to please the Lord. After we come repenting of our sins, you know, Jesus paid the supreme sacrifice. He gave it all. God sent his only begotten Son.
Yes.
to redeem us back to Him.
Right.
And I thought of this morning after the brother gives preaches his heart out, seemed like all the energy, trying to explain to you about how we need a Savior and how we need unity. And then we just act like it's nothing. I mean, well, we can't tell on the outside, but it's going to take some effort to walk down those aisles and to kneel at a prayer bench right there and say, Lord, I need your help.
Yes.
We have something that we have to do.
Yes.
We cannot put our salvation on autopilot. You all know anything about autopilot?
Yes.
Some people know about cruise control. I'm afraid of it when I'm driving. And the reason I'm afraid of it, even though my leg cramps, I'm afraid if I just sit up there and just going like this and like this, pretty soon I might go to sleep. But if I have to put my foot on the accelerator back and forth and I'm watching my mirrors and I'm doing the other things, I stay more alert. Your salvation cannot be placed on autopilot or cruise control. Now, we're going to have times when we feel like the Spirit of God is just, you know, when we sing and we feel pretty good, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we just, oh, praise the Lord. I'm in that group too. But what about when those trials come, thick and fast? When it takes an effort, Lord, to say, Lord, I don't know. I'm feeling for you like Job on the right and on the left. But, Lord, you know the way that I take. When you get in those close places when affliction is upon your body, when you get in those places when you are misunderstood. Has anybody been misunderstood? When people say things against you that they should not say. When you are perplexed and you don't know which way to go. When you look up and you look down and you look all around and you say, Lord, I'll just stand here and mark time. I'm just going to stand still until you give me direction. What about when the clouds come thick and heavy?
Right.
Has anybody been there?
Yeah.
What about these times? Are you going to say, Lord, you're the God of the good times?
Yes.
You're the God of the bad times? You're God all the time, all by yourself? And Lord, you know about the things that I'm going through right
That's
now.
Right.
They sang, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We need that friend.
I'm coming to that. We need that friend, the one that you can say, Lord, I know you're my friend. You have that relationship with God. I'm not talking to you about an impossible life. I want you to know this is the best life, and it takes effort on our part. We cannot be lazy. After salvation, repentance of sin, we must grow and mature spiritually. It's vital. It is vital. You must eat the Word of God. And what I mean by that, you must meditate upon it. You must read it. And you can say, oh, my schedule is so busy. I'm busy too. You all see me? I'm busy. But not too busy to serve the Lord. You must prioritize. You must do this. It's a requirement. You must put forth that effort. If it means getting up early in the morning, do it. If it means staying late at night, do it. If it means taking your break, do whatever it takes. We must fortify ourselves with the Word of God. We must do that. And that is something that's going to be very important because we're going to need it. You know, grace will be present for us, each one. I'm going to get to some scriptures. But when we set different goals in mind and have mindsets, we have different value systems. We're talking about efforts that are putting forth. Time management, you hear about those seminars, they're important. You have different interests, it takes your time and your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes we just have to renew our minds.
Right.
It just takes an effort to block those things out and say, Lord, I'm not going to entertain that right now. That's something for each one of us to do. We can retrain our thinking.
Yes.
We have to do this because the enemy, he comes in and he'll bombard our mind. He will get us into trouble. Now, we're thinking about we're living in perilous times. It's going to take an effort to stay focused.
Yes.
It is going to take an effort to stay focused.
Yes, it will.
Because there are distractions along the way.
Yes.
There is discouragement along the way.
Amen.
There are problems, real problems, that we must meet, and we must face challenges every day. But I'm here. There's tumult. You can hear all kinds of things, and you can just get yourself almost sick if you listen to the news. And I work in a public place where I'm hearing it over and over again, all day long almost. Oh, here comes another with another sad story, and here comes another one, here comes another one. And here I am trying to bob up on the top and say, oh, have a nice day, you know. But you know what? The Lord always helps me. And it all, and what it helps me to see is people are in trouble. They need somebody to share with them. It takes an effort on our part to listen attentively to what they're saying and to be able to give them what thus say the word of God. And so that takes an effort on our part. Have you ever had a time when you need to have an increase of faith? We heard them talking about faith being mixed with the promises, and you are, you know, the Spirit of God this morning. Have you ever had a time when you had to labor for an increase of faith? Lord, increase our faith. It takes effort to believe. What about obedience to God's word? Oh, I can just not even think about it. Oh, no. It takes a consecrated effort to obey what thus say the word of God, to be disciplined by Him. We're talking about victorious living. We're talking about that living that's going to make a difference in your life. You are going to be a light to your community. You're going to be a light to your family. You're going to be a help, and you're going to be a pillar in the church of God. This is what we're talking about. This is what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in us being weak saints, weakly, you know. No. We want to be strong, courageous men for God. Now, you know, I'm going to talk to you about Matthew 9 and 22. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Sometimes we have afflictions that are ongoing. It takes an effort to continue to believe God. It takes an effort to be faithful. Sometimes it takes a great effort to even come through those doors because we have pain, we have problems. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be worth every effort that you put forth to please the God. Everything that we can do within our power to make it in. The woman with the disease issue of blood, she had it for 12 years. And she came behind Jesus, and what did she do? She said, if I just knock everybody out of the way, and if I shout the loudest, and if I fall out, she didn't say any of those things. She said none of that. That was not her mindset. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't say I needed to touch his sleeve, his breastplate, or nothing. Just that little touch, the hem of his garment. And she had faith to believe that something was going to happen. And dear ones, I'm here to tell you, when you just touch the hem of his garment by faith, there's going to be a difference. There is going to be a real change that's going to take place when you do it by faith. And you know, that lady received a blessing. And she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus, something happened. Oh, thank the Lord for Jesus. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
He felt that virtue come
something
from
there.
His body. There was somebody by faith that had touched him.
Yes.
And it made a connection. Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord can bless us?
Yes.
And oh, it got his attention.
Yes.
It got his attention. And I don't think she was the only one there.
That's right.
But it was something special about that touch. And you're talking about having a friend. You know, some of us have been privileged to have friends. I've had a few really close friends. I can count them probably on one hand, the ones that I call really close friends. But when you have a close friend, there is a relationship there. You can pour out your heart to your friend, usually. I mean, really, because you know, that's my friend. And they in turn empty out to you. You have a relationship. And if you might be, not so happy on one day, and you call your friend and tell them, oh, this is going on or something, and they might say, well, you know, the day's going to pass, or I'll call you back eventually. But I'm talking about the relationship that you have with a natural friend. Now, Jesus is the friend of all friends. He is the one, the song says, is there here a soul in trouble? Whosoever, you don't have to take money to buy it or anything. Whosoever needs a friend, Jesus' love, your heart will gladden, bless and keep you to the end, or something like that. What a friend. Isn't that wonderful? We all can have that friend. And there's no room for jealousy. Don't put your effort... We all can be the friend of Jesus. We can all be number one. So I'm going to move along because we've got to get this time. He sticketh closer than a brother. He understands us. And he's still our friend. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm just encouraged. And you know, this woman, when she touched his garment, Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he gave her a special name. He said, daughter.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Excuse me. I've been singing a lot these last days and talking it. Be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour.
Thank the Lord.
Wonderful. Have you ever been healed by God? I have.
Praise the Lord.
It's a wonderful feeling. It takes an effort to believe. And so she received her healing. In Mark 2, 1 and 12, Christ healed, I'm not going to read all of these. I'm going to probably just refer to them to kind of condense the time. We have some more good things that the Lord has for us today. And so we want to kind of use the time wisely. Christ healed one sick of the palsy. And you know, there was a great effort put forth. I think he had some friends. He had some people because he couldn't do it himself. It said that he was sick of the palsy. And so what did they do? They uncovered the roof. They put forth an effort. And the others probably had persistent faith along with him to just think, if we could just get our palsy friend to Jesus, there will be a difference. If we could just bring our problems to Jesus, if we could just roll them all on him, there would be a difference. If we didn't try to, like the song says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If I didn't, Sister Phil, just try to carry it on my back and weight myself down. But if I would recognize, Lord, I have a privilege to carry everything to you in prayer. And you are well able to take care of it. And you do an excellent job. And so I can just take it on to you boldly. And you know, we don't have to wait in line while we're doing this. While we're giving it over to Jesus by faith, we can be ready to have some more battles and some more problems coming our way. And we can toss them this way, and you can toss them that way, and you can toss them back, figuratively speaking. But you can keep on. And that way, we won't be all burdened down. We'll be able to bear some more burdens. Use that energy in another way. But you know what? They uncovered the roof. And wasn't that wonderful? And they probably heard some preaching at that time. And the palsy man was healed. And his sins, I believe, were forgiven. This is over there in Mark. Listen how God, Jesus does this. The friend I'm talking about. Isn't that wonderful? The divine power of God.
Yes.
So we know that there's physical healing for us and spiritual healing. Some people need healing of the mind. Emotional healing. He has all of those things. In St. John 3, 1 through 12, this is about Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. He was a man of authority. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus at night. He was a secret disciple, as Brother Gracie mentioned over there, about somebody that they didn't know that he was saved. Because he probably didn't have any real indication, be that as it may, because of fear to inquire about the miracles being wrought. He saw something. This man, Nicodemus, put forth a great effort. He was rewarded for his effort. Listen, God will reward us for the effort that we put forth to serve him. He recognized that God was with Jesus, and he had some understanding, but he probably had some confusion also, because he wanted to know, how can a man be born again? Remember? And it was explained to him. But we're talking about the spiritual birth, and we thank the Lord for that this afternoon. Nicodemus. Jesus had something to say to him. He answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is a true statement. It's still true today. In Genesis 27 and 36, we're going to read this. We're talking about an effort to please God. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 27, I think I have this incorrect this time. 27 and 36. We're talking about Jacob, I believe, here. There was some effort put forth here. Some of this wasn't always beneficial, although it was said, you know, probably prophecy being fulfilled or foretold. But Genesis 27 and 36.
And he said.
Is not he rightly named Jacob? He hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright.
And now
he hath taken away my blessing.
And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?
Yes. Now please stop there. We are talking about a family. Somebody might say that they were dysfunctional. I'm not going to say that. But you kind of have to refresh your memory a little bit. You know, Isaac and Rebecca, and they didn't have any children. And they prayed, and the Lord blessed her, and she had twins. And it was Esau and Jacob. They were twins, and one was hairy and one was smooth. And so when the father, Isaac, I think was the father, he began to get old, and he decided that he needed to give a blessing to his son. So he talked to Esau. Esau was the man of the field, and he provided venison for his dad, and Jacob, he did other things. And so he decided, I need to give a blessing to my children. So the mother, Rebecca, heard this conversation. And so she told Jacob about it. But before this time, the twins, when they were in the mother's womb, they struggled with each other. I'm talking about the divine intervention. They struggled with each other. And so she went to inquire about this, and God let her know that there's going to be two nations, and, you know, how they were going to rule. And then when the children were born, I believe one of them hit the heel of the other one. Which one was it? Jacob was on the heel of Esau. Was that right?
Yeah.
He had, isn't that interesting? But this is that kind of abnormal, but this is what happened. And so, you know, the mother devised a plan. Be careful, mother. She devised a plan. She put forth a lot of effort. I believe that she could have maybe said, well, not gone through the extent that she went through. But she devised a plan so that Jacob could get the blessing from his brother Esau. And he was concerned. And she said, well, I'll fix the meat like your dad wants it. And she got it done really fast. And they had it all good. And then the father got suspicious. He said, it sounds like the voice of Jacob, but it feels like Esau. Esau was a hairy man. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, why didn't he just pray it and seek God and say, Lord, what about this? But it didn't say that in our scripture.
Right.
But he went on, and the mother said, well, I'll put the fur over you and all of this, and it'll camouflage because your dad is not able to see very well, you know. And, you know, all of this was taking place. And the father gave the blessing to Jacob. But before this time, Jacob had devised a plan that his brother came in from the field and he was faint and he had pottage. And so he said, well, sell me your birthright. And the brother said, what good is it going to do to me? I'm faint. These are my own words. He had given him the food to eat, but he had secured the birthright.
That's right.
And so these are the two times that he did something that wasn't very good. But this caused a lot of heartache in this family is what I'm getting ready to tell you. And you know, this is what it's saying about it. And so then, just about the time the father had gone through all of this questioning and said, oh, is it really, are you really Esau, my son? He said, yes, father, I am. And he said, but it sounds like the voice of Jacob. And he just went on. And then, just about the time that he finished giving the blessing, Jacob had scarcely exited, and guess what happened? In comes Esau. He had gone through the right preparation. He had put forth the effort. He had gotten what he needed to for his father, and probably, I'm saying this, he probably was happy. Oh, my daddy's going to give me a blessing, and I'm going to fix it like he wants it, and I'm probably going to spice it, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do, because this is for my father, and we're going to have a nice time, and he's going to bless my soul. And lo and behold, just about the time that he should have been getting the blessing, it had already been taken away from him.
Right.
And so he's saying, Father, didn't you just reserve one blessing for me? Just one blessing. And no doubt his father was very grieved. But he did go on and give him a lesser blessing. And he did tell him that eventually he would be able to cast that yoke off that his brother had on him. But think of this family, how that they were. And so it caused hatred. It caused problems in this family. It caused problems. It will cause problems today. When mothers or fathers be partial to their children, it is going to cause some problems. But they had some problems, but God helped them. And then he had to go away to his uncle Laban's house. He had to separate from his brother and his mother. And he went over there to find him a wife because, you know, Esau, he wasn't so careful. And he got a wife that caused them, he got a Hittite woman over here in Genesis 26.
Amen.
And I don't know how to pronounce her name, but he was 40 years old. And he took Judith, the daughter of somebody, the Hittite, and which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Effort, we're talking about effort, bad effort, negative effort. But so Jacob journeys on to find him a wife. And he goes on over there to Laban, and I'm going to condense the story, who was the uncle, and he sees Rachel there with the livestock and all, and he inquires and finds out that he can go into their home and, you know, be there for a while, a period of time. I'm showing you how effort is not good sometimes. And it was time. He had worked 7 years, and he thought that he was going to be able to have a you know, wedding or marriage with Rachel, the one that he loved.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, after the ceremony, look at all this effort that's being put forth. He discovered he didn't have the one he thought. He had Leah, the older daughter. Look how this, I mean, all the problems that this family is having. But, you know, God still helped them, and he saw them through. He was willing to work 7 more years to get Rachel. And I've heard people comment that maybe those years didn't seem so long to him. I don't know about all of that. But the scripture bears out he worked a total of 14 years and got these two wives. And so those are talking about some efforts that are being put forth. So you can research that for yourself. But I wanted to mention that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Esau. I believe he really meant to do that.
Yes.
There was a period of time that went by, as she remembered, and that God intervened in this in their behalf. And that's when we have it, you know, when Jacob saw the ladder, the angels ascending and descending and all of this, and he was afraid for his life, and he sent all these gifts over and all that. That's not all in our lesson. But the Lord did undertake, and I think he never did slay his brother as he had thought he would. But I think he had a cooling down period, so we thank the Lord for that. All right, in Genesis, I think that's probably good enough for that story right now. We'll move along. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. In Genesis 32 and 24, I'll just give you some of the last of it. And when he saw, this is when he was wrestling with the angel Jacob because he was going to return back and he was fearful about what might happen to him. And he saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He was putting forth a great effort because he knew that he needed a blessing. He knew what had happened. And the same with us today. Sometimes we have to travail in prayer. Sometimes we have to labor. Sometimes we have to fast. Sometimes we have to cry tears. I'm talking about sincere tears to the Lord to have mercy upon us, Lord. The conditions of souls that they're in. Our loved ones that are going to the devil's, on the devil's territory. That causes us great concern. And sometimes we have to just travail in prayer and ask the Lord to help us. But the Lord did undertake for them. And so we thank the Lord for that. You know, in Genesis 11, 1 and 8, when there is united energy and effort, people can get things accomplished, whether they're for a good cause or for a negative cause. A mob can do some things too. You know, you get a big riot going of people and throwing and carrying on, you can have a lot of destruction. But when you unite for the common cause of serving the Lord, there's power in unity. The building of Babel, remember that? In Genesis 11, 1 through 8, the whole earth was of one language, remember? And of one speech. Think of that. And they decided, the people were united, they put forth an effort toward a common goal. Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. It's going way on up there. Now, why would they need something that tall? I don't know. And furthermore, let us make us a name. What about this now? Let us make us a name. I want to be somebody. Okay. And they thought, well, we have this big old tower. This is in my words. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So I guess they thought they could look around and see that big tower, and that would give them a central location. I don't know what was in their minds. But God was not pleased with it. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and he was displeased. Dear ones, when God gets displeased with us, all of our efforts are futile.
Yeah.
When we displease the Almighty God, all that we can do at that point is to humble ourselves and ask forgiveness and surrender and say, Lord, it's me. It's no need of making excuses. Lord, I plead your mercy, and he will undertake for you. But this is what they did, and God was displeased. So he said, let's go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, you talk about confusion can stop progress. Confusion stops progress. They couldn't communicate. So they couldn't continue with that tower. And so the Lord scattered them abroad, the different races. In Joshua 7 and 21, we're talking about some more efforts. We're getting close to our conclusion. Joshua was fighting a battle, and he was being victorious. Have you ever been victorious, seem like, in your walk with God? Lord, you're blessing me. I've been saved now for blank years. Lord, I do know how to pray. I do know how to live free from sin, Lord. Have you ever had those kind of thoughts? And then something comes along and bang, where did that come from? But the Lord wants us to remain humble before Him. Lord, it's through Your strength. It is through Your grace, Lord. I can do nothing of myself. And Lord, I know You're that friend. And I know You love me, Lord. And I'm dependent upon You. And do You know that each time I feel I do this, that the ministers of God comes behind this little area right here? It's a very sacred time. It's a very serious time to me. So we all are humble servants before the Lord. But you know, we have no room to be getting lifted up. But Joshua was fighting a battle and he was being victorious. But remember the battle of Ai. They were smitten by the Amorites. Now what happened to them there? What happened? Something happened. Somebody put forth some effort that was negative. Joshua prayed, and the Lord God directed him how to correct the situation. Have you ever had a problem in the church or in the family where you had to pray and say, Lord, direct me. I don't know how to handle this. But Lord, You can help me. And the Lord does come in on the scene. He is that friend. So after they prayed, the Lord gave him discernment. And he rose early, and he started making a selection of the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah was taken, and finally came down to the guilty party. How do you think that person felt? We've lost the battle, and I've got something hid, and I put forth an effort, and I thought I had it covered up good. But lo and behold, you cannot hide from the all-seeing eye of God.
Yes, so.
And the discerning power of the Spirit of God. You just can't hide. So Achan, in verse number 19, Joshua asked him to confess, and he did. He had put forth some effort. He had taken something that didn't belong to him. No doubt he saw that it was beautiful and attractive.
Yeah, Lord.
But he wasn't supposed to have it. I want you to read for me Joshua 7, 20 and 21. Please. Anyone that has Joshua 7, 20 and 21.
And Achan answered Joshua.
He answered him.
I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian,
yes,
200 shekels of silver,
yes,
and gold,
oh God, have mercy.
Then I coveted
them. Yes.
They're hid in the earth.
Please wait. Please pause. He put forth some effort, no doubt. He probably dug it. And I'm just wanting to imagine that he might have been looking around to see if anybody saw me. He could have gone by night. I don't know how. But I believe he put it more than 1 inch deep. I believe he dug it on down there. And he probably put something on top of it. And he probably thought, oh, this is my little stash. But the all-seeing eye of God saw that whole operation.
Yes.
And dear ones, we can't do wrong and get by today. Go ahead, Brother Robert. Is that all of it?
And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent.
In the midst of it, okay. All right. Is that it?
Yes.
And the silver under it. He put forth a great effort.
Yes.
But it was futile.
The Lord.
So Joshua and all Israel took the items and his family. Listen, serious consequences for failing the Lord and his possessions unto the valley. And they stoned the humans and they burned them. They destroyed them. You can say, well, why would these innocent people have to suffer with Achan? I don't know that answer, but that's how they did it back in the biblical times. So these people perish as the result of one man's disobedience. And they may be sympathizing, that's right. And they lost the battle. It didn't say how many people were perished, but they were smitten by the Amorites, and they should have had victory.
Yes.
We're going to lose the battle today, but we don't do it God's way. And so we thank the Lord for that. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. We're going to read about Paul, and I believe that'll be our last scriptures for today. Thank you for your patience and praying for me. Paul had a wonderful, wonderful testimony. I want to have a testimony like that. But you're going to have to be willing to suffer for the Savior. You're going to have to be willing to deny yourself. Go ahead.
I have fought a good fight.
I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Thank the Lord. I want to go to the 7th verse. You got it? I want to go to the 8th verse.
Henceforth,
amen.
There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing.
Yes. Thank the Lord. Paul had it settled. He had fought a good fight. He'd gone through a lot of things. He'd finished the race. He had didn't allow anything to hinder him. He didn't fall out by the way. He probably had problems with brethren and other things that we encounter today. But he put forth an effort to serve the Lord, and he was benefited. Maybe someone has put forth an effort in their own strength to serve God. You can't do it in your own strength. Maybe you're tried and you failed. I'm going to encourage you this afternoon. Bring all your failures, your problems, all of your questions, all of that tangled up life that you can't work out. Bring it to Jesus. Let him pick up the song that we like to sing. Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Those pieces that you cannot find, just bring what you can. Just say, Lord, here I am. We have a song that says, just as I am. You're not going to be able to take your own effort and work out your life. It's too twisted and tangled. The enemy is right there to make sure that you don't get it untangled out. He wants to keep you captivated. But you say, Lord, I surrender it. I cease from all my struggling, Lord. I'm going to give it all over to you, and you're going to work it out for me. And I want you to open up your heart to the Lord this afternoon and say, Lord, in my human efforts, I cannot make it. The song says, I cannot make the road. I cannot, something about the road alone. I cannot find my way alone. Yeah, you need the Lord, and so that's what we need this afternoon. I want to encourage you, the grace is sufficient. God is able to keep each one of us, to sustain us, and it's an ongoing effort that we must engage in to be pleasing to God, to be able to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We can have that, each one of us. I would appreciate your prayers that I will be faithful to God, that when I speak to you, each one, that I will be applying it to my heart, because I don't want to be a castaway either. So we can all pray for one another, that the Lord could help us, that our efforts that we put forth through his grace and through his power, that we will be victorious. Thank you for your time and your attention and helping me read.